Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a trip to blue heaven. Here we go, Dodgers. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, you know where this show is going. Welcome in the beginning of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, on the vast Fox Sports Radio Network, emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box, also known as the Geico FSR Studios, as we are doing it live, a little more pep in our step in the overnight tonight. And I think we all know why. There's a famous quote that applies here, that bad news is that nothing lasts forever. The good news is nothing lasts forever as well. So it's both bad and good news. And don't bury the lead, my man. Don't worry, we're not going to bury the lead. The Los Angeles Dodgers, the woebegone Dodgers, who have made it an art form over the years to choke away playoff games and playoff series with top payrolls and great players year after year. And they were on their way. They were on their way as Blake's. They were going to do it again. Blake Snell was pitching a great game. I totally saw this inning. Snell was going to go like 7 or 8 innings. The bullpen would come in, shut it down. And then we'd go to a game 7, and the choke factor would be all the way up to a 20 on a scale of 1 to 10. But that didn't happen. Now, I'm going to full guns a-blazing.
I'm not playing a-blazing. Unless I get mine.
Yeah, there you go. We will have the full dedication for Kevin Cash, who I would like to thank. He's my new favorite manager in Major League Baseball, Kevin Cash, because
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
The Dodgers were totally confused. They had no idea how to hit that Twitch star, Blake Snell, and they didn't have to, because all it took was one base hit in the 6th inning in a game that was one of the great World Series starts. And the Tampa Bay Rays manager said, no, I've got to get out and take him out of the game. I've got to take Snell out of the game.
Bro,
and of course,
I'm risking my life.
He went to the bullpen, and the bullpen came in on the Vomit Comet. Mr. Anderson doing a fine job, and the Dodgers ending up scoring a couple of runs. Corey Seager on a ground ball. Turns out he was on a fielder's choice. It wasn't a hit. He grounded to first. Play came home. And Mookie Betts scored, so that was the second run of the game after the Dodgers had tied it on a wild pitch. And then Mookie Betts, we sell a lot of insurance in these parts on the radio, a lot of insurance, and Mookie Betts giving some insurance to the Dodgers. And what a tremendous job by the Dodger relief corps, as Tony Gonsolin was horrible. He only gave up one run. It felt like he gave up 7 runs, and a big tip of the cap to Julio Urias, who came in there and was just great at the end of the game. So let us discuss, what are the big takeaways here as the baseball season comes to an end and the Dodgers are on top of the mountain? A number one, king of the hill. All right, so I've got Fingerprints, Haunted, and Watchdog. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, I don't want to make this all about me, although I did attend the Tom Looney School of Radio, so I'm going to make it a little bit about me. This was obviously a special night. You can tell we're going to focus almost exclusively on this throughout the course of the overnight. And clearly, I had a ton, and we had a ton, of emotional currency tied into the Dodgers winning the World Series. There's a lot of energy. There's been a lot of time invested, a lot of nights that I could have been doing something else, but I spent watching these bums find imaginative ways to urinate down their leg in big games. And it was obviously refreshing. It was energizing to see the Dodgers finally win. And for those newbies, and we have new people that listen all the time, we're on new radio stations, we thank you for finding the show. But my background, if you don't know, as a Dodger follower is a little bit deeper. In fact, my fingerprints, the Maller fingerprints, okay, are all over Dodger Stadium. One of my first on-air gigs when I was in San Diego at the Mighty 690, the 77,000-watt blowtorch from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, as my mentor Hacksaw would say. But one of the first gigs I had was covering the Dodgers. Now, keep in mind, I started in radio. I was 19 years old at the time. And I continued on pretty much nonstop at every Dodger game up until my mid-30s, even while I was doing talk shows and other things. I pretty much grew up in the press box at Chavez Ravine. So when I first started, to give you an idea of how long ago that was, my God, I'm dating myself, but the Dodgers had, well, they were only a few years. They were less than 10 years away. I think it was a little over 5 years removed from their 1988 World Series. Tommy Lasorda was still managing the team. Oral Hershiser, the Bulldog, was still pitching for the Dodgers when I started going out there. And eventually, I was blessed to have a chance to co-host Dodger Talk for a couple of years with Ross Porter. And I briefly even traveled with the team. And I have some very fond memories of that experience in my life. Those guys were very kind to me and really taught me a lot about the birds and the bees and things I didn't know existed in the world and all that. And throughout it all, the one constant, right? The one constant was the heartache and the heartbreak, right? Finding ways to suck that you did not think was possible. Good teams that were just bad enough to puke all over themselves. Really the cutting edge of blowing playoff series, the Dodgers. Now, as the Dodgers now look down at everyone else in the Village of the Stupid in Major League Baseball, I want to thank a group of people who made this night extra sweet, the nectar of the gods, winning a championship as a fan. So, Clayton Kershaw, no, I'm not going to thank Clayton Kershaw. Dave Roberts, hell no, I'm not thanking Dave Roberts, no way. Cody Bellinger, nope, shaking my head, not going to happen. How about Mookie Betts? No, not going to happen either. Big tip of the cap, big tip of the microphone to the people that really need thanks, my biggest trolls. I want to thank, you guys made it extra special. You know who you are. You made it extra special. Seeing them finally win and then hearing all of you guys relentlessly busting my balls, and not just this year, in a number of years, a bunch of killjoys is what you guys are, shoving the curse of the Bambino right in my face, just like, boom, right there. And now you can take the curse of the Bambino and shove it up your keister is what you can do, because we have been haunted over the years by the jinx, which was invented by a random caller from a previous generation of callers in the early days of Fox Sports Radio. This guy, Motor City Mike from Detroit, who was delivering the newspaper and was one of our regular callers on the weekend overnight show, and he came up with this. And essentially, if you're new to the show, any prediction, literally any prediction, which is the greatest prediction, which everyone agrees with, if I make it, it blows up, kaboom, right in my face. Without fail. Without fail, it blows up every time, right? And so this was one of those nights that I will save a little snapshot for the rest of my life here. And not about to become a member of the Championship Defenders League. I will never do that. But it is nice. Certainly beats the alternative when your team actually doesn't stumble at the finish line. Now, the last word here. The Red Sox played a very important role in helping push the Dodgers across the finish line. We should not, and we would be remiss here if we did not give a tip of the cap. That Mookie Betts trade and forever contract the Dodgers gave Mookie Betts, worth every penny. Worth every penny. And Boston giving up a generational talent. I know the Red Sox are making all kinds of excuses, and they're saying, well, he didn't want to play here, and this and that and the other thing to try to make it seem not as bad as it was. But you traded Mookie Betts for pennies on the dollar, which is a great mitzvah for the Dodgers. And Mookie Betts can go out and bat 200 for the next decade, and chances are as he gets older, he's not going to be that good. But he's good now, and you can't take that little piece of metal away from the Dodgers. Now, meanwhile, some of you I've been getting some email here, and some of you idiots say, well, you know, I'm happy the Dodgers won, but you're a bad fan, Maller, because you gave all this critique of the Dodgers and all this stuff, and I have a strong disagreement. If you're one of these nimrods, okay, I have no regrets, zero regrets, and I'll tell you why. As the watchdog of the overnight, which is what we do here, holding down the overnight fort in sports radio, we hold people accountable. We do. And that's, guess what? Spoiler alert, that's what a good fan does. A good fan doesn't just sit there and get punched in the mouth time and time again and say, okay, we'll get them next time. That's a bad fan. A good fan holds people accountable, right? You should never be a sucker. Don't be the Rube. We always say that. Don't be a Rube. Did we fire Dave Roberts 7 times over the last couple of years? Yes. I fired him in the Atlanta series. You're I had fired. Dave Roberts fired. Have we called for the trade of Clayton Kershaw? Absolutely. Guess what? I'd still trade Clayton Kershaw. They just won the World Series. I'd say, thanks for the World Series. Go play with the Texas Rangers. Get out of here. I don't regret any of those statements. I have no regrets. They were deserved at the time we made them. And we do also deal with the currency of tough love, right? If you play well, you get celebrated, and that's great. But when you fail, when you trip and you stumble, we hold your feet to the fire. And that's what you should do as a fan. You should not be a lemming and just a sheep. No, no, don't do that. Never do that. That's bad. That's bad fandom is what that is. The teams would like you to do that, but you should not do that at all. Just don't do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You could say the Dodgers cashed in their World Series championship. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond. The vast Fox Sports Radio Network emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box, also known as the Geico FSR Studios. We filibuster the overnight hours away, and I generally try to talk about different things every hour. I have a bit of a attention deficit disorder. I get bored talking about the same thing, but I'm not going to get bored talking about the World Series, which is over. Finito. Done. Good guys won. The good guys won the World Series. Or did they just take a gift in the World Series? The Dodgers taking down the Tampa Bay Rays as they were down 1-0 until the sixth inning. That is the moment of the game, the sixth inning. Now, Corey Seager was the World Series MVP, and a lot of celebratory moments after the game there. And we had a great moment with Rob Manfred being booed. More on that later. It was great. But the better story this hour is in the losing locker room, because the Tampa Bay Rays took Blake Snell out of the game. And that opened the door. The Dodgers then took advantage. They scored on a wild pitch. They also scored on a ground ball to first. Didn't get a ball to the outfield after they got the runner on. And they still were able to get a run home. And then they added an insurance run with Mookie Betts later in the game. But they score a run on a wild pitch. Got an RBI on a Corey Seager ground ball. And the bullpen. And I hate bullpen games. I didn't like this bullpen game, but the Dodgers were able to win the game as Julio Urias came in and pitched the final couple of innings there and shut the door. The door was open by the Rays front office and their manager, and then the door was closed shut by Julio Urias. Now, if you didn't watch the game here, this is a cosmic mistake is what this is. This is a Mercury in retrograde type of moment. I imagine we'll talk to Andrea here at some point, and she will confirm that. But your brain, I've talked about this from time to time, your brain only really remembers two things about a sporting event. You remember the emotional peak, and then you remember the outcome. Everything else gets lost over time. Right? You remember it hours after a game, but it's kind of like your dreams. And if you're a dreamer, you wake up, you remember your dreams vividly, and then within minutes of waking up, you forget your dreams. That's with, like, almost everybody is wired the same way. But in the case of being a sports fan, remembering only the emotional peak and then the end, that turning point happened, as we mentioned, in the sixth inning. Blake Snell was holding a flamethrower. He was holding a flamethrower, and he had given up a harmless single to Austin Barnes. Austin Barnes, with one out in the sixth inning, he was mowing down the Dodgers. And I was contemplating how they were going to lose that game and then blow game seven because they would have tight Tookie syndrome. And then manna from heaven, Kevin Cash came running out of the dugout like the dugout was on fire. Like there was an arsonist in the Rays dugout. And actually, it turns out the arsonist was in the Rays bullpen. And he went out and took this dominant starting pitcher. Took him out of the game, and then all kinds of fun for the Dodgers. So the question is, what do you make of Kevin Cash and his bizarre pitching change? His bizarre pitching change, the timing of it. I've got the Mona Lisa, the button, and the daily double as well, the daily double. But why don't we hear, before we get into this, why don't we play some sound and we'll get into the meat of the monologue. Why don't we hear from Kevin Cash first? Kevin Cash, you'll hear him ask the question on why he decided that was the moment he had to take his overpowering, on this night anyway, starting pitcher out of the game.
Kevin, I know you guys try to be consistent, but can you explain what went into the decision to take out Blake? What was your motive there?
No, I mean, the only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions, and that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
All right. If you want to know what it sounds like when someone's lying, you just heard it right there. What Kevin Cash meant to say is, I screwed up. I panicked. He didn't say that, but that's exactly what happened. All right, now let's go to enemy of the show, Blake Snell. Twitch star Blake Snell. Bro, I'm risking my life. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Here is Snell pointing out that this was not your average garden variety pitching performance.
I believe in my stuff. I believe in what I was doing. I didn't walk nobody. They had two, you know, hits up the middle, you know. The slider to Barnes, you know, tip your cap. That was a bad pitch. He got a hit off that. Good job. But for most of that game, man, I was dominating every outcome possible. So, and that lineup is so talented, and yeah, I don't know. I'm proud in the way that, you know, I scouted them. I scouted myself. I'm just proud of everything I did to put the team in a situation to win. And I wanted to keep going, man. I felt so confident, you know, how I adjusted through seeing them a second time and what I was going to be able to do a third time. Like, man, I believed a lot in myself and what I did to, you know, hopefully see him a third time through and a fourth time if needed. I mean, I wanted to go that whole game. That was everything I wanted to do, was just, you know, burn the tank and see how far I could go.
Thank you, Jesus!
Oh, boy, how great is it that guy didn't win? I mean, thank you, Kevin Cash, for not allowing that bozo to win. Here's Mookie Betts. Mookie on the Fox post game, and he couldn't figure out what the hell the Rays were thinking with this move either.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure why. I'm not going to ask any questions. But he was pitching a great game. Barnsey let off with a hit, I think, right there. And we had a chance to do something, but then made a pitching change. And it seems like that's all we needed.
That's like me when I'm gambling and I get 7 points in a divisional game. I don't ask any questions. I just take the 7 points and I say thank you very much. All right, one more here. Cody Bellinger, who also felt that this moment of Kevin Cash overmanaging was a motivational effort. It was uplifting for the Dodgers.
I was shocked. We were kind of joking around. We were like, all right, way to get him out of there in the sixth like we planned. But not like that. But, yeah, and then we just kind of we rallied from there. And Snell had his stuff today. He was gross. I would say that it uplifted us.
Yeah. Oh! Well, to be fair, Snell's gross even when he doesn't have his stuff. But anyway, all right, but bump. So the question, what did you make of Kevin Cash? Again, just to rephrase the question, what do you make of Kevin Cash? You heard some of the reaction. You heard Cash. You heard the pitcher taking out Blake Snell and a couple of Dodger guys. So I said Mona Lisa Button and Daily Double. So number one, Kevin Cash will never, ever live this down. This is the defining moment of Kevin Cash as a big league manager and the defining moment of the gimmick that is Tampa Bay Rays baseball. All right, he will forever be known as the guy who had the game in control and gave the game to the other team, and he wasn't even playing in the game. And this is the manager that the Dodgers have been waiting for. They finally met their equal. Now, I am convinced that Blake Snell, if he had stayed in the game, he was going to go 7-8 innings and was not going to give up anything. And as an enemy combatant of our show, because of a social media rhubarb, Blake Snell was wonderful. I'll give him credit. Listen, I'm not beyond that. He pitched a very good game and was sure that the Dodgers were screwed. They were up Poop Creek without a paddle, and they were off balance. They were twisting and turning, and it looked like a bunch of Gumbies up there as they were tying themselves in knots. It was bad. It's like they were blindfolded. And this was tracking to be a Mona Lisa pitching performance. You think of some of the great pitching performances in the last 20 years in the postseason, and names like Mad Bum, Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, names like that pop up, classical performances. And this is the way it was going, right? Setting up a dramatic Game 7, and then Rays manager Kevin Cash came in. He says, I want to hijack the history. I want to hijack history. And I'm the smartest guy in the room. And instead of a Mona Lisa, I want to make it like a kindergarten finger painting contest is what I want to make it. It was pathetic and great at the same time. It's pretty sad, though, when the fans like us, me and you, know immediately this is horrific. The Rays had the Dodgers on death row. The Dodgers were sitting on death row. The LA hitters, you heard the reaction from Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger. They had a huge sigh of relief when this guy came out of the game. And the Dodgers were given clemency while they were on death row by the other team's manager. This is a miscarriage of justice for the Tampa Bay Rays. Not that I'm complaining. I am not complaining. Good job by you, Kevin Cash. Good job by you. I hope you keep that job for years and years to come. Now, secondly, for a long time behind these microphones, we have preached the gospel of the immortal words of the late, great Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel, a baseball icon from back many, many years ago before our time. And one of his great lines was that most ball games are lost, they're not won. And Game 6 of the World Series is a textbook example, right? The Rays, as a franchise, should hold some kind of war tribunal. They won't, but this was a World Series war crime, is what it was. As Kevin Cash, they would have been better off with Johnny Cash as the manager, okay? Kevin Cash, he hit the panic button. Panic, 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 panic. Just like that, he hit the panic button. Who does that? Kevin Cash. Well, Dave Roberts has done it in the past also. But he hit Kevin Cash. Stay focused. Kevin Cash hit the panic button because of a meaningless base hit by not a great hitter in Austin Barnes. And he pulled a move that I would have expected Dave Roberts to pull. The only thing missing was Kevin Cash after the game saying, I really liked him in that spot. If he had said that, that would have completed the night. And so Kevin Cash turns out to be the hero the Dodgers needed, not the hero they deserve. All right, that is Kevin Cash. You peel back the onion, and this guy choked. There's no other way to say it. Now, I know there's a lot of baseball nerd writers that are defending Kevin Cash and saying it's not that big a deal. When in doubt, follow the gospel of the Bible of analytics, right? The Bible of analytics. Hallelujah! Analytics. Adhering to those principles. Common sense be damned. Common sense, be damned. Now, referencing the Bible, isn't there a proverb in the Bible that says, live by the sword, die by the sword? I think they actually updated it. Live by the analytics, die by the analytics. I think that's the updated King James Bible. Now, as Joe Buck and John Smoltz said during the broadcast, the modern game of baseball is looking for reasons to take a dominant pitcher out of a game rather than trying to find reasons to leave the pitcher in. Oh, my God, third time through the lineup. His head's going to explode. And it's very annoying. And I know that the orgasmic writers, the stat guys love this. And they're like, no, the numbers say you're supposed to do it. But the numbers are based over a very long season. They're not based over a shortened seven-game series. And also keep in mind that every statistic has an outlier. And you cannot, there's no perfect statistical model. There's not. And the last word here, we're obviously excited on this show. Myself, Roberto, big Dodger apologist here. The Dodgers winning the World Series. It's been a long time coming. Been a long time coming since they reached the top of the mountain. We hope that they'll win more, but they might not. This might be it. This might be the only championship, and the team will be mediocre, and that's a possibility. But who knew that we would get the daily double? The daily double that not only did the Blue Crew win the Fall Classic, but the baseball community as a whole is now going to have to revisit its obsession with analytics. This has to be an aha moment. And I know the defense is, well, you got to dance with the one you brought and all those hokey cliches and all that. But this is a referendum on the analytical model. Micromanaging of pitchers. There are certain standards that are almost never challenged. Tampa Bay takes pride. They wear this as a badge of honor to do things the unorthodox way. And as we said, you live by the analytics, you die by the analytics. Analytics are a tool. Right? It's like a shovel. And you got to dig a hole, and you can use a shovel, but there's other ways to dig the hole, right? You can get some heavy construction equipment that is not a shovel, and you can dig the hole. You don't always have to use the shovel. In this case, the Rays used the shovel and dug themselves their own grave. And the other thing about numbers and all that, I'm not like, oh my God, analytics are the worst thing in the world. No. They're just another way to examine a player or another way to examine how to strategically approach a baseball game. But the other thing is that people are not machines. Now, eventually there'll be robots that'll be playing sports, you know, 200, 300 years from now, if sports are still around, there'll be robots playing sports, probably sooner than that. And sometimes you have to trust your gut. What the hell is in your guts? What is in your chest? And we would like to believe that this will lead to a great awakening from the brainiacs, the Ivy League crowd in baseball, that, yeah, maybe we should hold back a little bit, a wee bit on the analytics. To think that taking Blake Snell, who was pitching the game of his life, out of an elite performance in the World Series, he had thrown 73 pitches, and you take him out, what, because it's a numbers game? Because that bullpen, here's the other thing. The Dodgers kicked the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen's ass the entire World Series. Like, that dominant bullpen was not that dominant. They were a bunch of jags, just another guy out there on the mound, most of the relief corps for the Tampa Bay Rays. And that reliance on analytics in the postseason is, say it with me now, overrated. Yeah, it's overrated. And I just don't think you can analyze situations the same in a playoff series that you can over a long regular season. I think that's been proven, and yet it continues on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Third degree, Coop Dalu.
Last week you talked about how it was a bad idea for Major League Baseball to keep its two major 2020 changes going forward, the man on second base and the expanded playoffs. But now we are hearing that Adam Silver wants to keep the play-in format for the eighth seed moving forward. How do you feel about this sticking around, Ben?
Lame. It's lame. The NBA already has a play-in tournament. It's called the regular season. Hello! Adam Silver is looking to bail out crap teams and artificially put together some fake drama out of thin air for television. If you're not good enough over the course of the regular season or you have a player get hurt, sorry! That's how this works. You don't need to prop up middling teams. And the TV ratings weren't even that good for this thing. In reality, the winner of the play-in tournament is just their prize is to be cannon fodder against the number one seed. Next!
So the Jaguars just tied an NFL record for allowing at least 30 points in six consecutive games. Doug Marrone told the media that he knows his firing can happen at any time. However, most figured if he was going to be fired during the season, it would have been before the team's bye week, so that obviously didn't happen. Do you think he survives the season, Ben?
I'm optimistic, and I'll tell you why. Number one, Jacksonville's tanking. They got rid of their highly touted players, all those first-round picks in recent years. Jalen Ramsey, they dumped him off the Rams. Blake Bortles, Leonard Fournette, they're all gone. Defensive stars gone. So they treated those guys like the bubonic plague. They got rid of them. And so the way I look at it, if the Jags thought they were going to be good, we would have a different conversation. They thought they were going to suck. They suck. And so they're losing. That's what's supposed to happen. Next.
Ben, we have probably seen the last of Dustin Pedroia as he's played only 9 games since his 2017 cartilage replacement surgery. Didn't really take. Pedroia seemed destined for the Hall of Fame early in his career, but injuries derailed that. Is he still the best Red Sox second baseman of all time?
Well, if you believe in recency bias, Dustin Pedroia is the greatest second baseman, and he's the only player to win the MVP award, Rookie of the Year, World Series title, Gold Glove in the first 2 years of his career, but my guys in Boston, the old guys, are like Bobby Doerr from back in the day with Ted Williams, who's a Hall of Famer. Pedroia's not a Hall of Famer. How do we do?
You pass.
There it is. That's a winner. At the buzzer. At the buzzer.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's another Ben Maller game.
We've endured too many of these.
Is it too much or not enough?
Enough already.
All right, too much or not enough every single week at about this time. A little later than normal. Normally it's Cooking with Roberto, but Cooking with Roberto will return at its regularly scheduled time next week. Let's meet our contestant. All right, now, let's say hello to Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo. How about Blind Scott, who's going to play the game? Hello, Blind Scott.
Hey, congratulations. You've been a loser ever since I've known you. So in celebration, I sent you an email about how big you are and how you can't ride a bicycle.
No, I can ride a bicycle. I'm not as big. Wow. You're Blind Scott. You don't know how big. I've lost weight, Blind Scott.
It says if you're more than 20, you can't ride a bike. I sent you the article, and I also sent you one about Zoom that says.
No. I've ridden bikes. I have a bike. It has flat tires, so I haven't ridden it.
I weigh more than
fat.
220. I can ride a bike, Blind Scott.
You weigh more than 220?
Yeah, 225.
You eat too much food. Hey, I sent you an article about how you look like an ogre on Zoom, too.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And you're on Instagram, Blind Scott. I didn't know Instagram was for blind people. I thought it's only for booty models, so you could check out booty models. I don't know. You can't really get the full benefit of that, right, Scott?
I put on a social media influencer. It's blind_Boston, and I'm up to big things on there, so follow me. But let's get to the game now.
All right. Don't dilly-dally. Don't waste time. No grab ass. Here we go. Question number one, golden ticket on the line. There are only 3 pitchers born outside the United States with more strikeouts in the postseason than Julio Urias. Is that too much or not enough?
That's not enough.
All right, Blind Scott's going to go not enough. Let's see, is he right? No, it's wrong. You got it wrong, Blind Scott.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know how to answer that. That was a trick question. You know, did Roberto write that? That was worded terribly, you know?
No, the answer is too much. Only Orlando El Duque Hernandez in 2000 had more than Urias with 29 strikeouts here this postseason. Here we go. Question number two. Corey Seager becoming the 6th player ever to win both the LCS and the World Series MVP honors. Is that too much or not enough?
Not enough, and I'm excited about The Bachelorette. There's going to be a big thing that comes out where she leaves the show coming up next week.
Well, thank you for that. That's right. He's the he being Seager is the eighth player to win both the LCS and World Series MVP. Only the sixth shortstop to win it. The last, I believe, was Edgar Renteria.
That is correct.
With the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, question number three. The Los Angeles Rams. You can ram it all day. You can ram it all night. The Rams have won 19 straight games when leading at halftime. Is that too much or not enough?
It's not enough.
All right, is it Scott Wright, blind Scott? That's right. They've won 29 straight. You're one away from the win. The longest
right.
active streak in the NFL.
Too much. The next one's too much.
So I don't even need to give the question?
No, it's too much. Yeah,
all right,
hold on
a second. Matthew Stafford just threw his second game-winning touchdown with no time on the clock. Only three other quarterbacks have done that twice. Is that too much or not enough? Too much?
Too much, yeah.
All right, let's find out. Did Blind Scott get it right and win the game?
Oh, man.
No, you got it right. You got it right.
That's how I said, dude, I'm all about profitability. That's why I'm so good in the stock market. I answered not enough three times.
No, stop. That weed stock you gave me is a penny stock now. Don't start with that.
Yeah, but you got to play to win, man. You got to get 40
Tim Couch.
Stocks.
Tim Couch is the other one. You play to win.
Because I've got a golden
you got made out of money over here.
Yeah.
Blind Scott, it isn't a car. You've won a golden ticket. Congratulations. Woohoo! Whee!